Hello, and welcome to Helping Up Missions Donor Update Call with CEO Bob Gaiman. We'll wait a couple more minutes for others to join us, but we'll honor your time and schedule. The formal update will begin very shortly, so please stay on the line. Again, hello, and welcome to Helping Up Missions Donor Update Call with CEO Bob Gaiman. We'll wait just a couple more minutes for others to join us, but we'll also honor your time tonight. The formal update will begin very shortly, so please stay on the line. Hello, and welcome to Helping Up Missions Donor Update Call with CEO Bob Gaiman. We'll wait a couple more minutes for others to join us, but we'll also honor your time tonight. The formal update will begin very shortly, so please stay on the line. We're so glad you're here. Thank you, everyone, for coming to the call. Welcome to Helping Up Missions Donor Update Call with our CEO, Bob Gaiman. We'll wait a couple more minutes for others to join us, but we'll also honor your time. The formal update will begin very shortly, so please stay on the line. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for Helping Up Missions Donor Update Call with our CEO, Bob Gaiman. Just a couple more minutes, we're dialing out to nearly 30,000 people. So bear with us, stay on the line, we'll begin the program in just a couple of minutes. Good evening, everyone. I am Chris Sherrard, Director of Philanthropy at Helping Up Mission, and I am a 2007 graduate of our Spiritual Recovery Program. On behalf of our CEO, Bob Gaiman, welcome and thank you for joining us. We know your time is valuable, particularly in this busy holiday season. We are honored to have you with us. We want you to know up front, this is not a fundraising call. Tonight, Bob wants to share some updates about HUM programs in 2022 and plans for continued growth in 2023, including a very exciting announcement to share about how we'll be serving our most vulnerable neighbors. And we welcome your questions during this 30-minute session. If you have a question at any time during the session, dial zero and follow the prompts. We will try our best to answer your call this evening. Now, before we begin the formal call and allow others to join in, we want to start with a poll question. You are many of our most dedicated supporters. You are part of our family, and we sincerely care about you. We would like to pray for you if you'll let us. So the poll is this. Press 1 if you're concerned about your family and loved ones. Press 2 if you want us to pray for your employment situation or economic challenges. And press 3 if you are concerned about your personal health or that of a family member. Again, those selections are, if you would like us to pray for you, press 1 if you are concerned about your family and loved ones. Press 2 if you want us to pray for your employment situation or economic challenges. And press 3 if you are concerned about your personal health or that of a family member. Again, thank you so much for joining the donor update call with our CEO, Bob Gaiman. Okay, let's move on to the main event. It's my honor to turn the mic over to Helping Up Mission CEO, Bob Gaiman, for his initial remarks.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. I'm honored that you would take the time to call in and be part of this conversation. We have some what I think are very exciting news to share with you this evening, and I'm looking forward here just to, in these brief time moments we have together, to give you some updates about Helping Up Mission. You know, I feel today that we are at a better place than we have ever been in my 28 years here at Helping Up Mission. We have just an incredible, effective team of people doing God's work every day. Our programs for both men and women now are robust and working very effectively, helping a lot of people who are struggling with drug addiction and mental illness and homelessness. And while we have cause for concern because of of the inflationary environment we're in. We are very healthy financially, and this is because of you, our good donors, our loyal people who stay with us and keep us strong so that we can get all of this work done that needs to be done, which is so needed here in our mission. Or in our area, Baltimore area. So in this brief time that we have together, I'm thinking there's one point, in case some of you have to leave us early, there's one point that I really do want to get across, and that is that HUM has an unprecedented opportunity to help up a lot of hurting people. But at the same time, we are feeling the headwinds of inflation. And we need to keep both of these things in mind. Now, why is this an unprecedented opportunity? Well, one of the reasons is that in our continued growth, we have opened our new Women and Children's Center. It's a beautiful seven-story facility. Many of you have been part of it, and you've been reading about it and actually have been here on site. But this facility is absolutely beautiful. It will house 200 beds for 200 women and 50 children when it's filled up. We are growing slowly, which is a wise thing to do. We are staffed up, and right now we have probably around 50 women who are here. And just last week we had our first one-year graduate. And this facility was opened up in March of this year. So we're growing the program slowly. It's coming along very nicely. And we have a new program that we plan to start in 2023, which we will talk about a little later. So we're positioned so well, Chris, to do a lot of really great work. And thanks to all of our good donors that have been loyal to us.
It really is a journey that we share together with the community and all those that are on the line. And speaking of on the line, I look forward to seeing some questions coming from the audience. So I want to remind you, if you have a question at any time, and now's a good time for it, please dial zero and follow the prompts so that we can see your questions and respond to them. Bob, one of the things that you mentioned in your remarks and the newness, this is a question that's coming in already, and it has to do with the street outreach program. They want to know how that need was identified when you talk about getting, you know, in the streets as opposed to those all coming to us to our doors. We're going beyond the doors. How did we come to realize to do that?
Yes, I was talking to some of our people who regularly go out on the streets and they go into the homeless encampments and bring a message of help and hope to them. And these people that go out every week, several times a week, into the Brooklyn area, Curtis Bay area, Dundalk area, they go into these encampments with help and hope, and they are just incredibly excited about how effective this work is going on. And they take food and other kinds of help to them, and they are bringing people back to be part of our program. And right now in our program, there are a number of people that are in it simply because we have gone out there into the streets and we have rescued them. And it is so gratifying. But, Chris, to answer your question, how did we decide to do this? During the COVID period, a lot of the habits of homeless people changed. They didn't go to hospitals. They didn't reach out for help. They just kind of isolated into encampments, and their habits changed. And so they were kind of cut off from all the sources of help. We came to realize that. And we decided we cannot wait to go for them to come to us. We need to go to them. We need to let them know about the help that's available. And so we put this team together. We have some mobile units that and people that go out and they actually do casework right out there on the street. And they carry these little cards that talk about help and hope. And why did someone give you this card? Well, because someone cares about you. Because there is hope in the world, because there are people ready to help, and we're here for you. And then on the back side of the card, it has a list of all the services that they have access to. Spiritual recovery program includes addiction treatment, mental health, housing and meals, clothing, medical health, spiritual care, AA and NA meetings, a GED opportunity and college opportunity, job leads and training and legal aid. All of these things you can get right here in a safe, long-term, supported community. So these cards are going out, and these people are going out, and we are rescuing them, and they're coming into a program that provides everything they need on the long term to get well.
I'm seeing a question in now. These cards that you were just speaking about, Bob, are those available for us to give donors? If someone wants us to mail them some of these cards, can we do that?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, all you got to do is call the printer. And we can have any number of them available.
Okay, and I'll add in there, remember this phone number, 410-675-4537. That is our philanthropy office. If that's of interest to you, we welcome your call because it's us working in community. Thank you to Ms. Monlisa from Randallstown. She's asking Bob that she would like her donations to go specifically to the Women's and Children's Center. How would she accomplish that? I know that we welcome that.
Yes. Just make a note that's how you would like to restrict the funds, and we have a very good accounting system here. Chris is one of those people in philanthropy who helps us keep good data, and we can make sure that your funds go to exactly the cause you feel passionate about.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And Reverend Williams from Columbia wants to know if we help people with alcohol problems.
Oh, yes. I suppose, Chris, almost everyone that has a drug addiction also has an alcohol addiction, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty close. So, yes, we do. And that goes from detox right on through to sobriety. Yes, AA is a very important part of helping people struggling with alcohol addiction, and that's a very important service we offer.
Yes. Ms. Cheryl from here in Baltimore asks that can she be assured that when she's donating items to us that they're actually going to people in need, that you know, that we don't sell clothing and for profits. Bob, may I take this one?
Sure, you may. Yeah.
Ms. Cheryl, thank you so much for the question. It gives us the opportunity to let you and all know that when we receive donations of in-kind items, that those do go to people in need here in our community. Now, as Ms. Antoinette noticed, Ms. Antoinette from Crofton makes mention of in our newsletter, we mentioned that right now we're not able to accept clothing and toys for women and children. Well, clothing for women and toys for kids. We're not serving kids yet. Wait for that special announcement that's coming here soon. But we were having such an overwhelming response to the need for women's items that we are still meeting the needs of the ladies that we're serving with the clothing donations that we have. And that's why we're still on pause. That will go through the end of the calendar year. With God's blessing, we'll be able to open that up again, Ms. Antoinette and Ms. Cheryl, when we receive them, we use them where needed in our community. So thank you for those. Mr. Liu from Maryland is asking, are we accepting the women's and children's donations as it relates to clothing items for women and children? Not as yet. There are some women's items, undergarments, and toiletries that we welcome and still need. So these are wonderful questions. We are thrilled to be able to ask them. Speaking of which, there's a lot of questions, Bob. You can tell people are reading what you share in the newsletter and in the other mailings, that it's wonderful to know that the center is open. You had mentioned serving women first in this calendar year, and then maybe what's next. So the question is, Can you share the plans of what's next?
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, of all the programs that we have started here at Helping Up Mission in the last 28 years while I've been here, I think this new program has got to be the most exciting program that I have been part of. And it will really start up officially after the first of the year. But listen to this. Every year here in the Baltimore area, in the hospitals that are in this area, there are about 800 women who are pregnant and they are substance abusers, and they go into the hospital to give birth and they need help. And not only do they need help, but the infant needs help. So we decided that it would be good for Helping Up Mission to have this niche of being able to help pregnant women. They can come here before birth. They can go to the hospital and they can give birth. They can come back here, and then we will take care of the mother and the infant. We believe and we know that there's no greater incentive for a mother who is addicted to drugs to get well than caring for a newborn. And think about this. The infant in a safe environment can develop, the brain can develop healthy, the body can develop healthy, they can be spared from trauma and chaos, and they can be healthy right from birth. So we believe that this is one of the best investments that we can make in helping women by serving mothers who are pregnant. And as I said, we have done the research. There are about 800 women annually who are in this condition. Now, it just so happens that Bayview, Johns Hopkins Hospital, has a center for pregnancy and addiction, and they have about 15 women who are in this program. They don't have lodging. This is an outpatient program, and they are looking for long-term lodging and care. So we are working right now on a memorandum of understanding between the two organizations. The broad strokes already have been worked out. We're just doing the details, but we would start with approximately 15 women sometime in January who are going to be in need of long-term help and their infants as well. So can you imagine 15, 20 crying babies and smiling babies and babies kicking their legs and their arms and volunteers coming in and helping the mothers rock the babies? We will be able to provide the mother with opportunity to do all kinds of things while they're here, not only just get sobriety, but if they need to get their high school diplomas, if they want to go on to college, if they want career training, whatever it is they need, while they're caring for their infant, they can still do that work. And we can, because we'll have enough of volunteers and staff who can support them caring for the infants. So this is a program that we're incredibly excited about, and we'll keep you informed.
And it is our most vulnerable neighbors that we're called. My sense of that is we may not have known the exact expression that God would lead us to serve children, and that it is turning out to be the most vulnerable among us is heartwarming. We hope it is for you, our wonderful supporters, to be hearing that news tonight. And again, we have some wonderful questions coming in. If you didn't hear, I just want to make sure if you have a question, dial zero and follow the prompts, and we're getting to questions as we're able to, in addition to the updates that Bob is giving here. I have a couple different. I'm gonna package a couple of the three questions from Deirdre and Diane and Margaret. There's some things that they're asking about. If in addition to or maybe not financial support, are there things that can be done at the center in ways of helping, volunteering, and the like?
Yes, and we're talking about the women, yes. Central Women and Children.
Women and Children.
Yes, there are opportunities, and we have Chris a number that they can call to be in touch with the volunteer director that we have, or I hope.
Right, and I would point people actually to our website, and right on the front page is ways to volunteer and it will give the detail, because some might want to volunteer at the men's center, and that's a phone number, and then a phone number to reach Andy here. Andy is our volunteer coordinator, A-N-D-I, Andy O'Connor, and the website will point you to Andy.
But presently we have volunteers who are serving meals every day, and we have volunteers who are serving in the library, volunteers who are serving in our salon and in our art room and in our music ministry. So there are a variety of opportunities that are available, and that those opportunities will grow as the number of residents grow here. So it's important that you be connected with our volunteer director, and then you will be able to have a conversation of where you might best fit based upon the time that you have and also your life experience.
Wonderful. Miss Rosemary, who works at the VA in Baltimore, she's calling in from Columbia tonight. She's wondering if she can get some of the outreach cards to get into the VA.
Yes, wouldn't that be great?
That's a resounding yes.
Yes. Wow, that was...
Rosemary, I hope you're hearing us on that, and we'll connect with you real soon about getting our outreach cards to you. One of our partners, Helping Up Mission, is serving our veteran community in many ways. We have specific programs serving veterans, and then also just organically men and women in our spiritual recovery programs are veteran. I myself came here as an Air Force veteran and received care here. An important question. Mr. Tom from Randallstown says that he'd like to know how much financial support we receive from the city of Baltimore, you know, in our public-private partnership, but specific financial support.
Yeah. So the support financially really came not too long ago to help us with the building that we just built. This is a very expensive building, 7 stories, and they contributed $1 million to help us build this $50 million facility. And by the way, this facility is all paid for. Our donors paid for it. But the city contributed $1 million. And beyond that, the city, we have some contracts with the city from time to time, where we provide some services, for them, and as a result, they pay us for services. And they are helpful in a variety of other ways, such as helping us when we need building permits and things such as that. So we have a good relationship. We don't get involved in politics. We just get involved in helping. And so we have good helping relationships with the mayor and particularly the people that are on staff who are helping in the area of homeless services.
Yes, thank you for that. And reading here, Mr. David Moeller asks, and it's another vulnerable population in terms of our outreach to those in the, you know, homeless people, that we encounter those with mental health issues and how we help them, if not in our programs, but through referral, that it's not just a walking away from them, is it? I mean, we are giving as much care. Right.
Yes, yeah. In a variety of ways. Obviously, I'm sure there are times when we don't have answers to all of the needs that are out there. But even things such as helping them get their ID cards, they lose everything when they're out there in the streets, and so they may need coats here in the winter. And so there are all kinds of connections, housing, all kinds of connections that we can help them make to meet their needs. So that's why we call this casework. We get out there in our mobile units, and we're able to sit down with the people who need the help and do our best to connect them with sources of help.
Thank you. And there is a Diane from Baltimore. God bless you for the question that you have asked, because I know it's going to be in sync with Bob. There's two questions, and I think they're two sides of the same question. The first is, what are the most significant challenges that you're facing? That's one question. And then right behind it, Miss Diane from Baltimore, is what's the best thing that we can do? Those listening in, what's the best thing we can do to help Helping Up mission?
Yes. Yeah, so thank you for that question, because the greatest challenge that I believe that we're going to have in the next year is the inflationary impact that is happening on our budget. Like you, you're seeing a rise in the cost of food, utilities, gasoline, clothing. Everything has gone up. For us, across the board, we are, our expenses are 10% higher just because of inflation. And then beyond that, we have donations that that drop because there are families who aren't able to give as much as they used to give because they are being impacted by inflation. So what we need to do, oh, and then I need to add to that, to the additional expenses, the downturn in donations, services are up. Whenever there is financial impact that's sort of a negative nature upon families and individuals, drug addiction and homelessness goes up. So our services are increasing, and now cold weather is hitting, so that also has an increase in costs. So this is sort of a perfect storm, and the way that we feel we should manage it is just by doing what we're doing tonight, getting out the word for people to share with other people that anything that they can contribute financially is very, very helpful. So we need to increase our donor base and encourage people to do the best they can during this inflationary period so that we don't have to cut into muscle. We don't have to lay people off. We want to grow and bring on these exciting programs and help people. So your help in getting out the word will be very helpful.
We say we are a best kept secret that we don't want to have kept. And thank you for everyone to not only in your prayers, in your giving, in your volunteering, all the different ways when you're spreading the word. My phrase is that makes you a humbassador for Helping Up mission. You are truly a humbassador when you do that. I think one more question from the audience that I'm seeing before we turn to your final remarks, Bob, because, again, we're going to honor the people's time in these last few minutes. Actually, it's one that I might field, and that is Mr. James from Baltimore wants to know how he might be able to volunteer with some training for staff to build the ability to apply skill sets to get jobs in the area. Mr. Baker, the areas of empowerment towards self-sustainability are a key component of our programs. As someone is coming out of the abyss of desperation and despair from addiction and homelessness, and they're finding that ability and the hope to see their future, there are barriers facing them that challenge them from gaining career-oriented employment with a living wage and benefits, and we strive to do that. So we welcome the chance to have that dialogue, Mr. Baker. If you dial in at 410-675-4357, mentioned your question on the call that you've added here, and we'll also see some of the data. We'll connect with you on that. Our time is drawing towards an end. Bob, I know you have some final thoughts that you would like to share with those on the line.
Thank you, Chris. And as I started out in this conversation, I said there's one major point that I hope that you cling to and remember, and that is that Helping Up Mission right now has an unprecedented opportunity to help up a lot of hurting people, including mothers and infants. But we are feeling the headwind of inflation, and that is our major challenge. Our faith is being tested. That's nothing new for Helping Up Mission. Helping Up Mission has been around since 1885, weathered many, many storms, and we will weather this storm as well. We need your help, and our faith will grow as a result of the challenges that may be ahead. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus. We don't need a lot of faith. We just need a little bit. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. We believe that here at Helping Up Mission. We have seen many mountains moved, and we will see any mountain that is before us, any challenge that is before us, moved through our faith in our God, through Christ. And we believe that the inflation, while it's a challenge, it's not going to stop us from growing, because we have a whole lot of people beyond ourselves here at HUM who also have faith and are praying for us. And I just want you to know, our dear donors, our loyal donors, continue to pray for us, work with us. We'll stick together as one big HUM family, and we'll continue to help a lot of suffering people up.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Thank you, donors. As we as we're about to draw to a close, and I'm going to ask Bob, as our leader of this greater family, to offer a prayer for us all. And I want to say that we know the poll results. We know that people calling in are asking for prayer for family and loved ones. They are asking for prayer over their own personal economic situation and challenges that they're facing, and they're asking for prayer for hope. So for those three, may I ask you, Bob, when you pray us out, to mention those. Family, HUM family out there, thank you for praying for us and with us. Thank you for standing with us in these times and all times. And as you are able to, we pray that you will consider growing with us, as you've heard the growth that's expanding, that you would be with us there as well. So we thank you for your time. We're right at the 30 minutes, and a wonderful time to pray us out, Bob, if you will.
I will. Our Father God, we come to you. You are God who brings hope and help. We think of all the requests that our donor family has right now for family, for challenges that they're experiencing financially and maybe physically and spiritually, and there are all kinds of needs. And we believe, Jesus, that you are knowledgeable of these needs. You desire to meet these needs, and we give them up to you. We ask you that you would give us great faith to face all of our challenges, knowing that any mountain can be moved. We have faith to believe that. We pray that you would help us all to be filled with wisdom and power, to grow in our faith and grow in our work, and to be effective in meeting the needs of others that you bring to us that we are to care for. Thank you again for all of our HUM family and our loyal donors and prayer partners. We give great thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And this concludes our donor update call with CEO Bob Gaiman. Thank you all. Have a wonderful evening and happy holidays.